Congress takes aim at some high-profile Chinese companies. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. U.S. lawmakers introduced bills in the House and Senate yesterday that would prevent the sale of U.S. chips and other technology to telecom companies that violate U.S. export or sanctions laws. This means Chinese firms Huawei and ZTE, among others. Senator Tom Cotton, Republican from Arkansas and one of the bill's co-sponsors, said Huawei is, quote, effectively an intelligence-gathering arm of the Chinese Communist Party. Marketplace's trade reporter Tracy Samuelson is here to walk us through this. Hi, Tracy.
Hey, Sabri.
So, what is motivating this bill?
Well, the fear that these companies and Chinese firms more broadly could represent a national security threat in the U.S. So Huawei and ZTE are private companies, but U.S. officials worry that in a heavily state-run economy like China, they could be convinced to do the government's bidding, that if their technology and equipment is widely used in the U.S., it could become a backdoor of sorts, giving the Chinese access to, maybe even control of, all kinds of U.S. communications and sensitive data. And I should say, this legislation came right as the Wall Street Journal reported that federal prosecutors are preparing a criminal investigation against Huawei, alleging it stole trade secrets from U.S. firms it partnered with, including T-Mobile.
Now, a Chinese spokesperson immediately denounced this legislation, calling it hysteria.
Right. And Huawei and ZTE have always denied that they have any kind of inappropriate relationship with the Chinese government. A Huawei spokesperson said yesterday that the real intent here is to block and suppress Chinese high-tech firms. But that said, the U.S. isn't the only country working to take action against these companies. Australia, New Zealand, Japan, for example, they've all put restrictions on one or both firms.
Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson, thank you.
Welcome.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 2 to 3 tenths of a percent range, with the Dow future down 42 points. Government employees that missed paychecks during the partial government shutdown will get paid eventually when the shutdown ends. President Trump signed a law yesterday guaranteeing that. But government workers still have credit card bills, childcare, rent to pay. Some banks and financial services companies are offering help. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
Furloughed members of the Navy Federal Credit Union can qualify for an interest-free loan of up to $6,000. Tanika Wilson heads up the program.
So it's designed to bridge the gap in the time that they're not getting their direct deposit from the federal government.
Other banks are offering similar programs. Wells Fargo is waiving late fees for credit cards. The online lender Better Mortgage is letting customers delay payments with no penalty. Karen Petru at Federal Financial Analytics says it's not in a bank's interest to pursue a delinquent account of a furloughed worker.
If the person is ready to repay upon resumption of their paychecks, all you've done is angered a customer. To what end?
Many institutions are only posting banners on their websites, says Liren Imke at Mintel.
We're seeing few companies actually reach out on other platforms and have more aggressive messaging.
She says banks should take advantage of social media to reach out to furloughed customers. In New York, I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Aside from workers who have to go without pay for now, the shutdown is also increasingly making life difficult for people and businesses who depend on government services. We're checking in over the next week with people around the country who are seeing this up close. We'll start with immigration. During the shutdown, immigration courts are closed. Carl Schusterman is a longtime immigration lawyer based in Los Angeles and used to work for what was then known as the Immigration and Naturalization Service. Good morning.
Good morning.
What does the fact that immigration courts are shut down mean for you and your clients?
First of all, their backlog is over 3 years just to get a hearing. So we're having
that's outside of the shutdown, just normally.
Yes, exactly. So people who had their hearings missed, we have to tell them, you're going to have to wait another 3 years to get your hearing.
So instead of just delaying all hearings by however long this shutdown is, any hearing that happens to occur during the shutdown just gets put at the end of the line?
Exactly. So you're married to a citizen and you have a couple kids in the U.S. and you've been waiting 3 years to get your green card. Now you're going to wait 6 years.
Well, what are the consequences to someone who is going to have to wait another 3 years to, you know, get a work permit for their spouse, for example?
I mean, they'll have a work permit, but if they want to do things like travel out of the country, that's no can do. They have to stay in the U.S. and wait.
Are there any clients or examples that come to mind of people who are affected by the shutdown?
Absolutely. I sort of see it from both sides because I'm a former prosecutor for immigration, but I've been in private practice for over 30 years. So I see people that, you know, are married to a citizen and they're in immigration court and they've been waiting 3 years and now they have to wait another 3 years. And then I also see people on the government side, people that they probably want to deport because they've been convicted of a crime or something like that. But under the present government policy, they would love to deport them and they won't be able to for another 3 years.
Is this costing people money, people job opportunities?
Absolutely. Jobs require that they travel in and out of the country, and they've been stalling off their bosses saying, I'll be getting my green card in January 2019. And now they're going to have to say, I'm actually not getting it until 2022.
Immigration court is closed. What other immigration-related services are not operating during this shutdown?
E-Verify, where employers get to check with the government to make sure whoever they're hiring is legal. Other programs include foreign doctors that are working in medically underserved areas, and that's suspended as well.
Carl Schusterman, longtime immigration lawyer based in L.A. and previously worked for what was then known as the Immigration and Naturalization Service. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.